Good morning. Can you all hear me okay? All right. In putting together today's service along with Connie and Jim Dutchin, I wanted to, there's so many things that one could talk about in this rich experience and week out in South Dakota. This was my second time, and this time things were very green. There were ponds. There were wildflowers, and the last time I went, it seemed very dry out there when we were there. So I wanted to focus on the bomb cyclone that happened, which is probably the cause of so much lush greenness out there right now, but also the conversations that I had with folks out there during the time that they were living through the big snowstorm and the floods. So. In July, two groups left Edgewood to work with Remember in partnership with the Lakota people on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And Pine Ridge is a long drive. It's all the way in the southwestern corner of South Dakota, just over the border in Nebraska, from Nebraska, and not too far from Wyoming. It's home to over 40,000 people living on 2.8 million acres, which is larger than, if you put Delaware and Rhode Island together, it's bigger than that area. The unemployment rate is 90%. High school dropout rates are 70%, and one of every 100 children will graduate from college. 50% of their population is 17 years of age or younger. The suicide rate is 10 times the national average, and other than Haiti, it has the lowest life expectancy of anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. And many residences do not have toilets or access to running water. And instead, families or family clusters come together and they share outhouses or they drive to wherever the water is available for loading their plastic jugs. The reservation's a food desert, poorly stocked, overpriced, and sparsely located convenience stores sell a 3-pound bag of oranges, not organic, not fancy oranges, for $10. A 3-pound bag of oranges, $10. Bananas, $1.25 a pound. Soda, $2 for $1. High fat, high sugar snacks are cheap. Other produce is non-existent in these convenience stores or unaffordable. There is one hospital in Pine Ridge at the very southwestern corner of the reservation that has dismal funding, inexperienced doctors, managing complex health issues with ever-changing staff, serving all 40,000 people spread over 2.1 million acres. This spring, the bomb cyclone hit Pine Ridge Reservation, and it hit it hard. The Lakota people declared a humanitarian crisis. People familiar with the competing forces of poverty and neglect on reservations like Pine Ridge say that humanitarian crisis is a day-to-day reality for Native people. Every day is lived in a survival mode when you're on the reservation. But the bomb cyclone hit on the night of March 13th, late, and continued for two full days, leaving five to six foot drifts across driveways, across roads. I heard some people say that they were in a trailer. It was up to the top of their trailer. They had to dig to get out of their homes. The snow flew sideways in 70-mile-per-hour winds. Water lines were severed because they froze, and then the flood happened when it melted and broke lines. Three of the four lines delivering water to Pine Ridge Reservation were severed. The local convenience store took advantage of the situation and raised the price of water by $3 a bottle after the storm. Even when the weather was good, all the families don't have running water. And this certainly put the people on the Lakota Reservation in a dismal situation with water. The snow piled up. Roads were filled. The snow started melting. A lot of snow melted quickly. The roads very quickly became muddy. Many of the roads are just dirt roads out there. Roads were impassable. People ruin their cars, they ruin their trucks, they ruin their four-wheel drives. Some were stuck in the mud for weeks. Many of the Lakota were stranded with the floodwaters surrounding, if they were up on a hill, the floodwaters surrounded them. And the land is still saturated. Driving towards Remember across on 18, having remembered it being so dry, it was green. And there were ponds in low places of fields. And I saw pelicans on one of these ponds, something I never expected to see in South Dakota. There's nowhere for the water to go. And even now when it rains, the water table is so high, it creates a mucky mess. So on Wednesday evening at Pine Ridge, Remember brings local artisans in, craftspeople, artists, and it's an opportunity for the people at Remember to have conversation with Lakota folks. And I enjoy, I'm not a chit-chat conversationalist, you may have noticed, but I love these conversations. I just go up to someone and I say, can I sit down and eat with you? And we start talking. And every conversation I had this year was about the bomb cyclone and how it affected families there. Many people are still trying to get a vehicle because theirs was ruined, you know, during the flood. So I sat down with Rhonda and her 7-year-old daughter, and she shared her experience with me during the big storm in April. She and her daughter lived 3 miles off the pavement, and her car was ruined. She walks or hopes for rides from passersby to get to town for groceries. A friend brought her to Remember that night so I could talk with her. I purchased these earrings from her, $20 towards her cause. She's trying to save every money she makes to buy a new car. I also met Joe Pulliam. He's a winner of the Abstract Award for the best non-representative work of art of any media, which I brought with me, and I know it's small. I'll have it in the social hall afterwards. But he told me the story of this watercolor he did. It's called Bomb Cyclone, and it shows the swallows struggling on the wind to fly, and then the snow coming and piling up, and then finally the river where the snow melt went. And the cool thing about this to me was that it was actually made with snow melt water. So it's very symbolic in both its representation, but also with the media that it's made from. And it caught my eye, and I love that story. So thank you so much for listening.
This doesn't really have anything to do with what I'm talking about, but when Marcia was saying getting stuck in the mud, the first day our work crew went out to work, there was a big road that went like that and up, and there was water in the bottom of it. So the lady who was driving the truck with a trailer on the back for all the supplies we needed for what we were building decided she'd go around and sort of up. Well, it's all sandy there, and it was dry, and she got stuck so badly. And we were there for probably an hour and a half trying to get out of what she had done. And everybody was giving suggestions. And Karen Dean, who is out in the hall, was there. She was the one that gave the best direction, and that's what they did. So it was interesting. Anyway, that's just a little aside. I was a newbie at Pine Ridge this year. Every time for the last few years when people went, I always said, oh, I should go. But it just never happened. Well, this year I turned 77, and I decided it's either now or never. So I went this year, and I'm very glad I did. It was a really good experience, and I really want to go back really soon, badly. Anyway, there's usually 50 volunteers approximately out at Pine Ridge at a time. And for 3 days, groups of people go out and do projects on the reservation that Lakota people have requested. And so for the first day, or the first 3 days, our group was of seven stayed together. But then another group of seven came with us. So we had about 14 people going out there. And we packed up all the supplies, including our lunch and water, and drove probably a half an hour to an hour to get out there, and unloaded all our stuff and started working. Well, the job we were doing was a ramp that was requested by a lady that could not get out of her trailer anymore. So we got all our stuff out, and Bill, who was in charge of our work crew, who was really a great guy, said, well, there's the door. We're going to put the ramp there. Well, so and the problem was, in front of the door and in the ground was these awful weeds that were like about this high. There was probably about a cord of wood, and there was four tires buried so deep that it took us about an hour just to get the land ready to put the ramp on. Well, we got that done, and I was going to say Jackie's grandson, Jacob, pulled out these four tires, and it took him forever. But anyway, we got the ground ready. Then the guy who owned the trailer came out. He said, that's the wrong door. We don't use that door anymore. So here we had done this work. And, I mean, Bill was really a really laid-back guy. And he kind of just looked at the guy, and he kind of said, you know, just stop for a minute. And he said, okay. So we went around to the other side and built a ramp. And everybody, because of him, I think, none of us, you know, I was digging and I was sweating and I was thinking, geez, how awful. But when he said that, all of us did say, okay. We went around and we, you know, spent the day, probably 4 or 5 hours, working on the beginnings of a ramp. We did about 3/4 of it. And then the next day, the group came and finished. So you have a bunch of people that don't know each other, except maybe, like, in my group were a couple of Edgewood people, but you don't know each other, and you're put to work on these things that a lot of people were really good, but I'm a non-tool person, and I did learn how to use it to drill. That's about what I learned. But it's just all these people from different places in the country and different. Most of them are UCC people, but not all of them. And they all just get together, and we get these jobs done. And it was just, I mean, it really felt good, and it felt like an accomplishment to help these people. Because if you make a bunk bed down at the shop, they have a shop, and you make a bunk bed. And we think it's made of wood, but that could be for a kid that's never had a bed. Or put in the skirting around, put skirting around the bottom of their trailers. And some of them don't have, it helps them to be not cold in the wintertime. So these are really important things. And to me, Remember and the volunteers and the Lakota people are doing really good things out there. And many people said this year that had been out there before, this was the best year, they're the happiest year, and the best year they'd seen the people there. I think it's really important, especially for the volunteers. I mean, we disconnect from the lives we have at home. And the life there is just, I mean, unless you've been there, I couldn't imagine it until I got there. I mean, it's the starkness and the hugeness and the roads, and it's just everything. And it was so important for me. And we were also doing meaningful things and helping and caring for the environment and for the people. But we in no way gave to the Lakota what they gave to us. In the morning, we had wisdom from the elders, and a couple of ones I'd just like to read you. The material life has never been worth living. It is a spiritual life that counts. And that was a guy named Tom Porter. Ultimately, nature will do the teaching. So those were just two different things. And then at night, we had 3 different Lakota Indians. This year it was all men, but sometimes it's women too. And they just told stories and sang songs and really introduced us to the Lakota life. But I think that, to me, the most important thing was the powwow. And that was, we went to that, we had only been there a few hours, and we got in the van and drove to a powwow. And it was just, I mean, for so long, the Lakota and other natives couldn't do their dances and their different things. But there was a drum beat going the whole time. And the Indians had this regalia on, beautiful headdresses and different types of coats and pants and moccasins, and it was just really beautiful. And they invited us to dance, and they even mentioned Michigan twice. They said, why don't you Michigan people come up and dance? I'm not sure why they mentioned Michigan, but they did. And it was just, so we did dance, and none of us really knew what we were doing, but they had three drummers that moved this drum like that we have over here. Is like, and it just kind of got into your soul, this boom, 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 boom. It was just really, really important for me. And I think, again, the Lakota can learn from volunteers because they have been treated so badly for so long that they know they can trust people who've been coming back year after year after year after year, and that's what they've done. I think, and we did, like the kids said, we saw Wounded Knee, we saw the Black Hills, we went to a heritage museum, which was really important to me, and we went to some other places too. But, and we bought, of course, like Marcia said, the beautiful things the people brought, the women. And we also went to a craft, some of us went to a craft barn on our way out of town, and there was other just beautiful stuff. But I think the thing that they can show us the most is they are fighting for their survival in a very hostile environment. And I feel like that's the most important thing I learned. And I think the fact that there's volunteers, and remember, they sort of hold the whole thing together between the volunteers and the Lakota, and so they hold the whole thing together. So to me, it was one of the most important things I've ever done in my life. And I don't know why, but it is.
Good morning. I do want to just comment on something that Marcia mentioned about the bomb cyclone. Because one of the things that Corey True, and who is the executive director of Remember, said is that he has noticed clearly in the last few years increasingly unpredictable and extreme weather out there. And so the bomb cyclone, the extreme heat, the rapid storms that have come through, the winter storms, you know, he really believes is all part of climate change and that they're witnessing climate change out on the reservation. So that's just a comment. I also want to talk a little bit more about the food at Pine Ridge. An old adage says, you are what you eat. Well, for the Lakota people on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, the food has been poor, very poor, for many years. The substandard food has contributed some of the worst health conditions in the United States, anywhere. More than half of the adults over 40 years old suffer from diabetes. Heart disease is rampant. Life expectancy on the res is just 48 years for men and 52 years for women. At Pine Ridge, people's homes are spread far, far apart. Consequently, many people get their food from small convenience stores that dot the reservation. The food there is usually very unhealthy. There are very few fruits and vegetables, lots of potato chips and salty snacks, many sugary drinks, and as Marcia mentioned, the res is a food desert. Until earlier this year, the only supermarket on the res, Sioux Nation in Pine Ridge, had a reputation for being overpriced. It sold few fruits and vegetables, and it also had been cited repeatedly by health officials for selling spoiled meats. I returned to Pine Ridge for my fifth time in July. And I am pleased to say that I think I see some encouraging signs that the food on the res is getting better. Lakota tribal leaders kicked the managers of Sioux Nation supermarket off the reservation last November. They finally just had enough. And this is a supermarket that had been on the reservation for almost 50 years. In April, a new grocery store, Bushi Foods, opened its doors. The new supermarket's prices are lower. The facility is well-lit, well-designed. It's a pleasure to sort of go in. But most importantly, it is now stocked with fresh fruits and vegetables, and it even sells organic produce and gluten-free products. For the first time, these are available on the reservation. This new grocery store on the res has made a huge difference, says Paula Seibel of Remember, which is the organization that hosts Edgewood's trips each time we go. This is a very important development. Another positive sign is the continued development of Feather 2, which will be the future home of Remember that is being built in the heart of the reservation. During our stay in July, several members of Edgewood helped build hoop houses at Feather 2, where fresh produce will be grown year-round for the first time. Other Edgewood members worked in community gardens at the site. Classes at Feather 2 will teach gardening and healthy eating, and already students in the schools on the reservation are now being taught similar skills. There are many very serious problems that remain on the res, according to Corey True. But he says, offering more nutritious food will improve the lives of the Lakota people, and volunteers, such as the people from Edgewood, are making a real difference by helping to improve and provide more healthy food to eat.